Welcome to Women's Wellness Podcast with Lucy Coutinho and Nahal Horn. This is a podcast by and about BIPOC women who are going through their healing process. We hold this space for women to share their unique stories, created with our love for storytelling and passion for mental health and wellness in mind. The aim is to help amplify voices of women everywhere. These conversations will feel like you're having a warm cup of coffee or tea with a friend. So grab yours and let's enjoy. So today's guest is very special. Michael Guess, a man on the show. You know, typically our guests are women, but this one is a real treat for us. So we're really excited to have him on. Mike Guess was born in Philadelphia into a Christian household. Guess relocated to Baltimore in 2001 from Philadelphia. Soon after, a tragedy and trauma struck his family when his father was murdered in an act of gang violence in 2004. Now, in his efforts to spread hope, Guess is engaged in various activities. So from 2013 to 2020, he has worked alongside Baltimore City Police Department and Somebody Cares Baltimore to meet the spiritual, physical, and mental health needs of Baltimore City residents who attend the annual Day of Hope. In 2015, after the civil unrest in Baltimore, which many of us can recall, Guess partnered with the mayor's office summer block party tour to help spread a message of hope once again. In 2021, Guess began a new journey where he launched his brand, Be Good. The brand focuses on the importance of mental health and spreading awareness around that. And Guess believes that we have to get our mental state right before we can help anyone else, right? So everything else flows from there. And I truly do believe that. So welcome, Mr. Guess. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling well. I'm feeling very good. I appreciate y'all for sneaking me through the back door.
You are welcome, my friend. You are welcome because you know what? We are all connected and we are all here to help each other. Yes. And so this is why I felt this conversation was so important, because like we shared offline is that when we support our men, when we support our Black men, we are, it's part of our healing process and it's part of our healing journey. So we're all connected, man. So thank you again for being here. I just want to dive right into my first question, because I think this is really important to set the tone for the rest of the episode. Let's talk about your own personal healing process after the loss of your father in 2004.
Yeah. So to jump right in, when we talk about, you know, what healing process looked like, you know, and to be perfectly honest, that there was no healing process, right? Mm-hmm. For you go from 2004 forward to 2020, and there was just masking, right? Mm-hmm. There. And I think that's what a lot of people, guy or girl, deal with is, do I face the reality of whatever I'm dealing with, or do I just make it look good enough, like social media? We're going to make it look good enough. It looks like I got it all together, right? But when the lights go off and when I'm by myself, it's really a battle. And so I dealt with that for years, you know, just we're going to put the show on. We're going to give you what you want to see, because nobody really wants to know that I'm battling with depression because my dad is gone, and just, you know, trying to find ways of positive ways of coping. And you know, it's like, well, nobody wants to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it since they don't want to hear about it. So I'll just keep it to myself. And so I went on for years of just suppressing until we get to COVID-19.
Oh, yeah. That was real. And we always talk about this, too, because I'm like, that brought up so much to the surface, man.
For everybody.
For everybody.
For everyone.
For everybody. I think it really put a lot of, it really brought a lot of people to their knees, unfortunately, myself included, literally to my knees.
Yeah.
But, you know, but was a, it was the harm and the help at the same time, right? So it was the harm, unfortunately, for people who obviously there are people who's lost family members because of, you know, the pandemic. But the pandemic for a lot of other people was an awakening time, right?
Yes.
It was a time where it was like, yo, I can't go nowhere, so I just got to sit here and think. Oh.
With myself.
You know what I'm saying? With myself.
That's hard, man. That's a hard one.
With myself. I got to do this. And so that was me. You know, I was in a position where I worked for a company, didn't really like what I was doing, was making great money, just it just wasn't fulfilling me. And I, throughout the years of leading up to me starting therapy, and I hadn't been to therapy over all these years from, you know, 2004 from losing my dad all the way through 2020.
Let's talk about how long that is. That is years.
Years.
I mean,
Because what happens, this is what happens. You don't think that nothing's wrong with you.
That's
I'm fine, right?
I'm fine.
So that was me. And how many other listeners, like I said, male or female, that are saying, I'm good. Like, yeah, I had some trauma, but I'm like, I'm handling it okay.
Right. Yes.
I'd rather you do more than handle it okay. You know what I'm saying? So.
And here's the thing, Mike. I feel like it seeps through in other ways,
So you don't even know it.
You don't even know it. How our relations with other people, the choices, the decisions that we make from that space too.
Yeah.
It's, you know, wow.
Yeah.
And also coping mechanisms, like what kind of, like, how are you coping?
Yeah.
Like what were the ways, like, were you numbing? Were you numbing out?
So I got to a spot where, when it happened, I initially told myself, and I think that was really the start of it, nothing else is going to hurt me like this hurt me in life ever again. So whether I lose somebody else, whether I go through a bad breakup, whatever it's going to be, nothing's going to hurt me more than this. Like, I made that like my stamp, right? So then I'm throwing walls up everywhere so nothing else can really get in to hurt me and to make me feel this very same way. So my coping was really staying busy. My coping was, well, if I'm busy and everything seems okay, because I'm, because one of the things that isn't in the bio is that I'm actually an artist and producer. So like I was getting booked for shows week after week after week after week after week. I'm like, cool, we staying busy then. I don't have to face real life. And then COVID is like, nah, you're gonna have to sit down, my boy. I'm gonna have to show you some things, right?
Yeah.
So everybody had to sit down and face real life. And it was like, oh, I don't like this. Well, what are you going to do about it, right? And I had friends for years tell me, like, bro, you should, I would talk about whatever my issues were. You should probably get into therapy. And I'm like, nah, bro, I don't need therapy, bro. I'm good.
That's not for me.
Right. That's not for me. And I finally kind of warmed up to it. And the company I was working for, which a lot of companies, I always like to plug for any podcasts or interviews I'm doing, a lot of companies, check with your HR or with your management team. They offer what's known as your employee assistance program, which is how I got into therapy. Your employee assistance program, for people, who, if you're listening and you don't know, your employer will pay for a certain amount of sessions for you to be seen for mental health and other things completely free. You don't got to pull out your debit card, credit card, give your information, none of that. I actually got up to 10 sessions per occurrence with my employer. So if I was in for anxiety, 10 sessions. I'm going to come back. Hey, I'm having an issue with depression, 10 more sessions. So you can work it to make sure that you get in what you need and not having to dig into your pocket so deep or at all. But that was how I got in. You know, I had people saying, yo, you should go, you should go, you should go. I finally tapped and said, let me see what my employer offers. Looked at what they offered. I said, well, it's not going to cost me nothing. It's like a free trial. I'm all game for a free trial. Cancel it, set a little reminder on my phone, cancel it before the due date, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, let's try this thing out. And it was it wasn't what I expected starting out. You know, I went, and what I mean by that, it wasn't necessarily the therapy, it was how people responded to me saying, I'm looking for a therapist. And it was kind of the, what I would assume is also a lot of people's, you know, apprehension to kind of to go to therapy is what would they, whoever they is, what would they think if they knew, right?
Right.
And that's where I was at. You know, I went in, I'm asking this security guard at the office building that we worked in. And I said, hey, these directions say there's a therapist in this building. Could you direct me?
Mm-hmm. And he
said, oh, you mean for the crazy people?
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Well.
Oh.
And yeah. So I was kind of like, I was kind of ready, but now you just stepped me back 5 steps. Right. You know what I'm saying? He didn't totally shut me off, but if I'm honest, it really made me like, well, that's not me. Like, I'm not crazy, so maybe this isn't for me, right? Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And then months later, I literally have a breakdown at a 4th of July party.
Mm-hmm.
And family over, got 50-something people over, and I'm just, I can't do this. What's wrong? I can't do it anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? And literally that week was the beginning of an awakening to a new life of just clarity, honesty, authenticity, emotional awareness, just so much that I'm like, bro, if y'all had this, if y'all knew what y'all could actually gain, yes, rather than what would they think if they knew? Well, if they knew, they would probably be like, hey, good job. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, they don't even know what they're missing.
They don't. I had a therapist once tell me, she said, you know what, Lucy, healthy people come to therapy, you know? And when she said that to me, it just blew my mind. I was like, wait a minute, because, you know, you struggle with that. Like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
But you know what? You're healthy to the point where you're like, there's something off. There's something wrong. I want to get better.
Yeah.
And just to have that awareness, like, understand that you have that awareness, that means you have a mind that's operating, that's looking out for you and saying, hey, you know what, something's off here and you need to pay attention.
For that security guard, he probably was deflecting, like he probably needed to be a therapist.
This is the thing I hate to say, right? You look at cultures. You have to look at culture. Not you have to, but you must.
You should. I think it's a very important piece of it, of course.
So culturally, you're talking older, like he's probably like in his 60s, pushing 70, black dude.
Oh, yes.
Old black dude.
We don't go to therapy.
Like,
nah.
Yeah. And we're definitely going to dive deeper.
We're not doing that.
Yeah. I have some questions about that. It goes deep, and that's a big piece of it. So hold that thought, because we're going to circle back on this. And so walk us through the creation of Be Good. And it's funny because when I was like thinking of Be Good, it's like, that's the black person's way of saying, hey, be good. You know,
that's
it's
exactly
like, we've been saying that for so long. And it's like, okay, so let's talk about what that actually means and what that looks like and how you came to this creation of creating this, this brand. You know, you have some dope sweatshirts and t-shirts, like the therapy is dope, you know. What a way to get a person's attention. That caught my attention. And then the normalize section you have, also black men going to therapy, that really spoke to me. So walk us through this.
So like exactly like you said, you know what I'm saying, like anytime I would leave a group of friends, all right, y'all be good, and I'm out. But then I'm thinking like, well, what am I actually saying when I'm telling y'all to be good? So it made me like think about that. But to where it like really rooted, got roots at, was it was something I always said. One, and then started therapy in 2020. And because, and this is one thing that I can say that other people are doing it, because I'm doing it, and I'm nothing's new under the sun. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to therapy and I'm trying to finesse like I'm good, but my therapist is like, bro, I'm here to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I you don't need to put on a show for me. Like, give me the down, dirty, raw, like, shit. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. All right. And what he actually said to me maybe two or three sessions in when I'm still trying to, you know what I mean, show him my representative. He said, bro, do you actually want to be good, or you just want to pretend that you're good? And I said, wow. No. And it hit me. Mm-hmm. That part hit me and it stuck with me. I said, no, I actually want to be good. Like, I got years of mess. Like, I want to be done with it. He's like, bro, he said, well, this is what you got to do then. And so we walked through, you know, a whole almost a year journey together until I moved down to Atlanta. But it literally started from me realizing what he said, you want to be good or pretend that you're good. Realizing, wait, no, I want to be good. Wait, I always tell everybody to be good. Well, what am I saying with that? Well, I want you to be good to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be good within. So that's that mental piece.
Mm-hmm.
And be good to others. So that's really my call to action for you to be good. You know what I'm saying? But you can't be good to yourself, in my opinion. You cannot really be good to yourself or be good to others if you are not good within.
No.
Because it drives everything else. It drives everything else. Even one of the things you were talking about with the you know, fathers in homes, like, the best way we can support our homes is to get our fathers healthy. Because if our leaders are healthy, man.
Everybody's healthy.
Man. It's a game.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is. And that's what we don't understand. Like, this is why I'm like, this is all connected.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a woman thing. It's not a man thing. It's like, we all have women and men in our lives, you know, and this is why. So this actually brings me to my next question, right? So do you feel like there is a stigma around therapy in the Black community?
A million. And see, I almost said 1,000,000%, but I'll say 500,000%. So it's very interesting. So I think, and I said, I was on another podcast maybe a month ago, and I said, I don't really believe the issue is what we make it to be. I think it more so is we're just choosing to not have the conversations. Like,
but why are we making that choice?
Yeah.
I think we're choosing to make the choice to not to have the conversation because I don't know if they really, if they on that type time, then cool, we good. But if they not on that type time and I start talking about it, then they might look at me weird. They might try to take my cool card, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in Baltimore for a visit last month. And I said this on the last podcast I was on about a month ago, that I've never done this before. So it was like, why did I do this now? I have no idea. But I was like, wow, I'm in the hood, literally in the hood, 1 a.m. I'm like, yo, I got to get gas before I leave to the gas station in the morning. If you don't gas up tonight, I'm not stopping at 5 a.m., so I'm like, cool, let me go to the gas station at 1 a.m. I pull up. It's some very sketchy gas station with some pretty sketchy individuals. And I walk in still like, whatever, bro, I'm from this area. I know what I'm doing. The guy comes in behind me and we start having a conversation. And he said, bro, you a truck driver? I was on the phone. I was getting up. He said, I heard you say you was going back to Atlanta. I said, no. He said, I'm trying to get into driving trucks. I said, no, I actually have a brand that, you know, we focus on mental health. I'm in town for this event, blah, 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 blah. He says, mental health? So then we start having this conversation on mental health at 1 o'clock in the morning, mental health and therapy at 1 o'clock in the morning. Keep it 100. He was out dealing drugs. I mean, it's not nothing doing it at 1 o'clock in the morning. Right. If you're not getting gas, you're dealing drugs. You're doing one of the two. I was getting gas. He was dealing drugs. So it's like, but you stopped and said, wait, mental health? Like, yeah, therapy? Yeah, bro, man, I could really use. And I think a lot of it is I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to do that. And I think a lot of it really is being intentional. I don't think we're intentional when it comes to actually pulling the trigger on it, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
We know what we need. Like, we know
what we need, yeah.
I need to go to the gym. I need to eat. Now, me, I'm bad at eating. I will go a whole day and not eat because I'm work. And I'm like, damn, it's 10 o'clock. I didn't eat today. Oh, no. But going to the gym, we know, all right, I'm going to be healthy. I got to go to the gym to have a healthy lifestyle. We know what we need to do, but will we take the, you know, the action and implement an intention to actually do it. And so I think we know, like in our culture, like we know enough what's there. Like we see the benefit in other cultures that are tapping into to therapy as a tool into their, you know, their health journey. But it's just like, I'm too cool for that. And I'm like, why? I'm just like, but how? What, you know, different from any other, you know, nationality and age group, if it's the age group thing, like, right, you know, different, you know what I mean? So that was one of the big reasons why we started pushing out therapy is dope, because one, it communicates on, to me, from what I'm seeing, it communicates on several different levels to several different people groups. We have, you know, therapists who are in school therapists who, like, they send us messages, yo, we wear this to school, and the middle school students, they love it. And I'm like, they do?
Yeah.
Hey, I wear this to work, and everybody says something. I'm like, wow. Hey, I wear this to, and then we get old and young, and somebody from California, I'm out, they were here in Atlanta visiting, older white lady, had to be in her 80s, a group of older white women, and they stopped me. They said, hey, what does that mean? What is that? What do you mean therapy is dope? Right? But they knew therapy, but they like, I don't understand what is dope.
What is dope? Yes. Right?
And so, but they were engaged enough to say, well, dope means good. Therapy is something that's good. I love it. I'm going to send this to my therapist right now. Right. So on every single level, it connects, because
it connects.
We all know that we need it.
Yeah, we do realize it.
Right. Are we all going to really tap into it? We all know we should probably be hitting the gym, but who's getting up at 6 a.m. every day to go?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is so fascinating. So just listening to you talk, I kept thinking, like, so what is the block? Besides if there being a stigma, maybe some embarrassment or shame, like, is there anything, like, what are the other blocks that you think stops people from going to seek help?
So I would say one of the biggest blocks in the Black community, obviously, is finances, right?
Yes.
We're on a different financial plane.
And therapy's not cheap, you know? Like, it's not cheap.
It's not.
So sad that it's...
And that is why, I always, every time I get, I'm screaming from the mountains, employee assistance program.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you shared that. Yes. I don't think that's promoted enough.
No, not at all.
Because, I mean, obviously, I really don't think a lot of people are really aware of that, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And you know what, another thing that I found, and I've utilized these services as well, you do have services that work on your pay scale.
Yes, a sliding scale. Yeah.
Sliding scale. So there's that, which sometimes you can pay $5 for a session. Yeah. It's that affordable. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, spreading those awarenesses, like, don't discount yourself. Don't get discouraged. There's so many, services out there.
Yes. And also colleges, like George Washington University has a program for their graduate students where you can go and see if they're a counselor for, like, and like Lucy said, $5 to $20 a session with grad students.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause they're trying to get hours. They're getting trained.
Yes.
Yeah. You're helping them get the hours, and then you're benefiting because you're actually getting the service, which is just as great. But you're sometimes you can even get it for free.
Absolutely. I was about to say that. There's so many free tools, access to tools for therapy out there. So many organizations that we actually partner with, an organization called the Alma Davis Domestic Violence Foundation. And even in there, their main focus is domestic violence, but within domestic violence, you're obviously dealing with some trauma. You're dealing with trauma, you probably need to talk to. You know, so a part of their course and program that they do, they offer therapy. So we said, well, we can connect with y'all and go a step beyond therapy. And now we're connecting with somebody who's dealing with physical, emotional, financial abuse, whatever it may be. But these domestic violence situations that we can connect and say, well, let's partner, stand with you, and attach therapy to this. That's going to help them. It's almost like a, if you go to, like, what you call those, Six Flags or one of these amusement parks.
Amusement,
You know what I'm saying? And you got the speed pass, You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, get you a speed pass and get in the therapy.
Cut the line.
You know what I'm saying? Cut the line. There it
cut
is.
Cut the line, man.
Get you the speed pass and get going. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so being able to partner with, you know, organizations like, you know, like Alma's organization and even other local churches in the Atlanta area who have a focus on mental health. And
that's right. That, like, local churches as well.
Right. Yeah. Like, yo, we're gonna
help. Good point.
Yeah. It's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Now that you just mentioned church, I did want to dive into this question. The church. Growing up in a Christian household, did you experience some resistance to therapy or even like talking about mental health due to religious beliefs? Because I know that there's a lot there that we need to unpack.
So I personally did not. Mm-hmm. But I wish we did have those conversations. So it was kind of a thing like this. It wasn't that we couldn't talk about it. Like, hey, we're not going to talk about this. We just didn't. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And which is almost, I won't say it's kind of like one is worse than the other, but it's like, man, if I wish we could have. So now it's like with my children, I'm super intentional. We're going to talk on every single thing. Like, they listen to majority of my podcast. So
nice.
One of the podcasts came out and I'm talking about, yeah, for this, from this time to this time, I was depressed. And my daughter's like, Dad, you were depressed. What happened? They're like, let's talk about it. You know, she's 9, mm-hmm. 10. She's like, let's talk about it. I'm like, let's talk.
Yeah. And that's the word. Let's talk about it. And how are you feeling?
Yep.
And making that question okay, because like, I like to say, how are you feeling? Because I feel like it's more of an open-ended question, right? Like, how are you doing? Fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you doing? Great. Like, no, how are you feeling? Really feeling? And that just like, I don't know. It just, it allows you to pause and really, even like when people ask me that, it makes me pause and think about, like, it's like a pulse check. How am I really feeling right now? Like, you know, just like, so, I love that you
know
what
the funniest thing is with that? Mm-hmm. I actually started doing that not too long ago. And I won't let you say, it was what the young lady said to me. I said, hey, how you doing today? Hi. I said, no. How are you doing today? Oh, she said, oh, I'm doing good. I said, that's all I wanted to know.
Right.
We forget, like, we're so busy and moving that it's like, hey, somebody's actually concerned about how I'm doing today.
Yeah. Right.
But then do we actually stop to give that time to say, well, honestly, I'm really not doing too great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And I did that once. Because normally we all are on the, no, good, no, good, 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 good.
Well, really, before you have the answer, the chance to answer, somebody's already walked off.
That's right.
Like, you just asked me how I'm doing, but you're over there.
On to the
like,
next conversation.
I didn't
right.
even have a chance to say it. And so it's all presence. I think presence.
Yeah. It's super great. Yeah. When you can answer that and be authentic, whether you're doing great or you're just like, bro, today is a crappy day.
Yeah.
And I
and
can
that's okay. Yeah.
And it's like, well, hey, what do you need from me?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for you? Oh, well,
yes, I love that. How can I support you?
You know what I'm saying? Even my girl, I'm like, babe, I just need a hug. You need a hug. I just need a hug. Okay.
That's it.
You know what I'm
that's
saying?
It. Seriously.
So, yeah. How you feeling?
I have a friend, you know, we talk every so often, and every time, you know, we talk, she says, Lucy, how can I support you today?
Aww.
Every single time. And I'm just like, it's so beautiful to me because I'm like, I don't get asked that. You know, it's just like, wow.
But I think that's to your point with the part of the conversation of, you know, how do our women support men when it comes to mental health?
And
it's just that simple at the same time.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Definitely talk about it. I was waiting to get to this part.
We're going to have to do a part 2.
This is the good stuff.
This is the good stuff.
We're
going
to have to do a part
2.
This is
the meat. Yeah, we will. I'm serious. It's not enough time.
No. So, okay. So, how do we talk to our partners? I know a lot of guys will always act like they're fine. They're fine.
Yes.
Not always
my goodness.
You know, my husband, he won't like complain or tell me, you know, Or emotionally vomit, like sometimes I do, like about everything.
I do that all the time, right? All the time. If you do it so much, you feel badly because you're like, well, he's not complaining. Why do you complain so much?
Yeah,
it's so that emotional awareness, man.
Yes.
Right? So how do we initiate a conversation that might help our partners open up a little bit more and maybe talk about something that they're dealing with emotionally? Or maybe, hey, do you want to talk about it? Or do you want to go see somebody to talk to? Without them feeling ashamed or maybe like threatened in a way.
So I think that's one of the best ways to start is a sign of support, right? Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of what we feel as men, and I hope I can speak for us in a general way, is the responsibility to have it all together, carry it all. I got this, babe. You don't got to do nothing. I'm holding it down, but I'm getting crushed by holding it down.
Yeah.
Where you're here to help me. Like, you could help and I could still be quote unquote the man.
Yeah. You still wow. Man, you're winning right there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because
that's something I learned in business. Like it took me to get into this business space to learn that you need. And that's in business in general. You need people to support you.
Yeah.
So in business, if you let's just say if you take the home and say your home is the business, mm-hmm. and you are the CEO of the business, you're the CEO of the home. Now, as you know, let's just say if you're the guy. So then, as the CEO of the business, what are you responsible for? If you got no employees, you got everything. Now, how long do you think you can hold that up before it
crumbles?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you can hold a glass of water straight out in your hand with water in it for but so long before you're like, yo, this joint is heavy.
Yeah.
Nothing changed. We didn't put more water in it, but it's only so much you can hold for so much amount of time before you're like, bro, somebody can grab this joint from me because this is getting wild.
It's too
so
much.
When we look at our homes and we're like, no, I'm gonna do all of this. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do all of this. I'm gonna be responsible for all this. And we're not even giving our partners a chance to say no, right? To ask them, hey, babe, could you do X for me? Yeah, I could do that. No, I can't do that. We're just saying that I'm gonna just do it because I gotta be the man and do it. But you being the man and doing it is actually putting more of a strain on your relationship, right? It could be putting a strain on your relationship mentally. It could be putting a strain on you, which that is putting a strain on your relationship because you're like, yo, we not in the same place we used to be. Yeah. Why not? Because you try and do everything by yourself when you got a helper here.
Yeah.
So that's one big one I would say is just be a safe space for, you know, those, hey, I'm here for whatever you need. And some of it is even like, for instance, with my business, we started really scaling up over the past couple months and I've been doing it by myself and I've been doing okay by myself, but to go to do twice as much of the work as we scale, it's like, yeah, this is not it. Mm-hmm. Now, when I asked, really, when she said, hey, I can do X or what do you need help with?
Mm-hmm.
Then it became, oh, now I shaved down what took me, you know, 6 hours to 2 and 3 hours because now I got somebody helping me. It didn't take anything away from me being able to, yeah, I did that. But then it helped us to actually work together, which then it brought us together even more because it wasn't like, I'm going to go do this over here and you just wait for me till I get done over there. No, we're here working together now. So we're really a team, right? So that then builds our relationship even more. Then we can see success together. I'm not just coming to you saying, hey, look at what I did over here by myself. But you got to witness it with me, right? So it's just even that leaning in of what can I do for you? You know what I mean? Like just that simple, I don't need you to do nothing. Nah, maybe I can do this. I can do like identify those areas where you can help because for me, I don't need your help. I got it, right? That's where I was at. No, I got it. I don't need your help. All right, well, I'm going to do this.
Now, and I love that. Yeah.
If you say, hey, babe, you want me to cook dinner? Or you say, hey, babe, I'm going to cook dinner.
Right.
They hit different, right? So now I'm taking ownership and I'm saying, I'm going to own this. Hey, do you need help cutting these things out? No, because I don't need help. I'll get to it. It's just going to take me mad long. Hey, I'm going to cut these out. Oh, thank you. All right.
And it takes that thing off your plate. Like, whatever I see that is manageable and I can take off your plate, that's how I do it without even asking a lot of times.
It takes it off. It brings us closer together.
It's like the team.
It creates more time for us together without this stuff.
Absolutely. And that's how I look at it, too. It's like, partly is that, okay, how can I help us? So we can help us, you know, and you brought up the teamwork. Yeah, teamwork. It is a partnership. And I think what happens in relationships and how it starts to break apart is when we start doing our own thing, right? And it starts to break apart. And that's I look at it in a general sense in life in general, in businesses, you know, all of that. That's when things start to break apart. And I love that you just mentioned the whole, you know, alleviate some of the stuff that your partner has to do, whatever you can do. Take a load off, you know, ask how you can help. Mm-hmm. And that is a great segue to my last question too, because I know we can't keep you forever, although we want to. I know, it's so sad. It's coming to an end, right? So what would you say to other Black men that may be experiencing some challenges right now, or that may be struggling in silence, right? So we've been there, you've been there. What would you say to them?
So I would say, one thing is that tomorrow isn't always promised one, but tomorrow will also always be there, right? Which means you didn't get it in today. You didn't go and get in therapy today because whatever stops you, whatever roadblock it was, you have another opportunity tomorrow, right?
Yes.
You have another opportunity tomorrow. If God graces you with the gift of life for one more day, you got one more day. Let's try it again today. Let's go again today. What's going to stop you today? And really, the biggest thing that I tell guys, like I said earlier, is that I don't think I've spoke to one guy that's like, no, I want my family to be jacked up.
No, right?
I want my family good. Mm-hmm. I want my family good. I want my family to be well. All right, well, you know where it starts? It starts with us, bro.
Yeah.
Because if they see us doing it, especially if we have sons, who our sons do? They model what their father
does. Yes.
Even if we have daughters, what are daughters? Dad, daughters.
And like you know daughter, what? Daughters are going to look for their daddies in their relationships. Yes. You want to be a representation of who they're looking for. And that is so, so important.
Yes, 100%. So that I would say, you know, like nobody's going to care as much as you think they care.
We
there's this lie in our minds that keeps us trapped and keeps us in bondage to whatever our demons are by thinking, man, what if they knew
is that they're gonna embrace you and love you so because you know what,
and that's the side that they don't get.
Vulnerable. Guess what, you gave me permission to be vulnerable. Now you're giving me permission to share my story too. And I think that's where we miss the mark. It's like people are waiting for you to be vulnerable.
To go back to that gas station situation.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, bro.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, bro, y'all.
That's such a beautiful story.
Right, because there's like, I'm waiting for we're waiting for those conversations to happen.
We're waiting.
Like, when people walk around with our merch on, we're like walking billboards for like, yo, I'm a good space for a conversation on therapy and mental health.
Oh my goodness, for real.
So it's always conversations. Every day I wear one of our pieces. Every day, people who wear it, they're like, bro, you don't know how many people stop me. I said, no, I know how many people.
I know how many people stop me. I experience it every single day.
You know what I'm saying? But if we have the conversations, that is the start to then impact change we get the fathers good, we get the homes good, we get the homes good, we get the communities good, we get the communities good. It just keeps flowing out.
The world will be just so much better.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Whew, what a way to end this conversation. Right on, brother. You be good, okay, Mike?
I'm going to do it. Good. I'm going to do it. Y'all be good, too.
Oh, we will be good. So, Mike, let us know where we can find you, purchase your merch, learn more about your journey, all that good stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. So you can on social media at BeGood, BEGOOD. Dot brand. So that's BeGood.brand. That's the brand. And then my personal, you can follow me at Who Is Mike Guess, GUESS. And yeah, so tap in, I'll follow back and, you know, stay connected for show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for your time. You'd be good,
and
my
for
friend.
Y'all followers, I forgot.
Yeah.
Y'all followers, y'all listeners. We'll have a 15% discount for any of y'all listeners. All they'll have to do is put in WWP at checkout, and they will get a 15% discount as well.
So okay, for the listeners today. Yes, awesome. Got that. Got that. Thank you. Thank you so much. And to my listeners, as always, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate every single one of you. We definitely acknowledge your presence, and we are so, so grateful. Please do check us out on our Instagram page. That's luce.inspiration, where we post everything wellness. Until the next time, sending you all so, so much love.